is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Jags on Sunday. Floyd told me during the break he is pumped. I mean pumped for Jets and Browns tonight.
Yeah.
I care way more about Braves and Phillies.
Another game.
Way more about Braves and Phillies than I do Jets and Browns. Although I think Hugh Jackson should be fired if the Browns lose this game. But apparently, from what I hear, he's not going to be.
I don't know why this game would be any different than all the others for the last 2 years.
It's a very fair point. So it's 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's time for you and Floyd.
When the GM speaks.
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Best call for Floyd wins a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena Saturday, October 6th, and a $25 gift card for you to join us on Sunday at Nashville Underground for the pregame show. So let's go right to him, Floyd, and we start with Carl. Carl, you're on with GM Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. So, Floyd, my question for you is, if you were the GM of a franchise and you had a quarterback who was the number two pick and he missed 22% of his games in his first 3 years. If he missed four or more games in his fourth year and came up for a contract for an exorbitant amount of money, how would you handle those negotiations?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, these negotiations might be really hard, depending on what happens this year and next year. Hard from this standpoint. You know you can't survive in the business if your quarterback's not healthy and he's not out there. You know that everything else about, and I know we're talking about Marcus, everything else we're talking about Marcus, you like if you can just find a way to keep him on the field. Now, if you can't do that, then you have your plan B becomes, okay, I understand that you can be there a certain amount of time. I've got to get a better backup. I've got to find somebody that can spell you whenever you go down. And if that's the case, then I can't pay you near the amount of money that you want. And he's going to want, let's face it, if you're Marcus and you're looking at Carr and you're looking at Jimmy G at San Francisco and you look at, I mean, those are all, you know, $25, $27 million a year contract. And his agents, his people are going to be looking, you know, right square at all of those kind of contracts. And you know, you're going to have to try to convince him that, no, I can't do that. I can pay you 17 or whatever, and then I'm going to have to go take $6 million out here and get another backup. The scary part about all this is somebody out there might be willing to pay him the amount of money that he wants. And if, in fact, that's the case, then you lose your quarterback and, you know, you go right back to the draft or free agency or wherever you can go, but you are scrambling to find a quarterback, which is not a good position to be in.
I concur, and I would say this. I think what happens if it doesn't work out with Mariota is the Titans will take a starting quarterback off of another team that it hasn't worked out for either. So, like, I used the example today. I was talking to someone at the gym. My example was Stafford. Was like, let's say that at the end of this year, Patricia fires Jim Bob Cooter, who, by the way, has never really done anything. Patricia fires Jim Bob Cooter and hires an offensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator doesn't like Stafford, and then you end up with Stafford. You know, something like that. You know, that is what I foresee happening if it ends up not working out with Marcus. Let's go to Andrew, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, thanks so much. I think a little bit of my thunder has been stolen, but I'll go quick. We all support Marcus. We want this to work out. But I'm going to play devil's advocate and ask the GM. Hypothetically, let's say, heaven forbid, he comes back in week 5 and then gets injured and yada, yada, and we're faced with next year needing to start the process of getting a replacement. GM, what would you do as far as trading up in the draft or letting a quarterback sit for a year or getting that Stafford immediate surefire fix, or what would you do, heaven forbid, if we had to do something moving on in the next year or two? What kind of angle would you go towards? Again, we don't want that to happen, but how does the GM look at that and say, how does this franchise move on?
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about the most difficult position you can be in as a franchise and as a GM. Everybody in the league knows that you're looking for a quarterback. Anybody that is going to be willing to give you a quarterback will want twice what they're worth. And really that only leaves you with anything that's reasonable is to go to the draft. And you end up trying. Now, the problem is, let's say we're talking about this year's draft. I'm not sure there's many good big time quarterbacks in this year's draft. Now, I think next year's draft, I think, could be loaded. But I'm not sure the number of real quality quarterbacks in this one. So, you know, you could get caught in a situation where, you know, you're trying to bide time with somebody that you've got that can get you, you know, be like a bridge loan, get you from A to B. But that certainly isn't good for your franchise, and it certainly isn't good for you know, the players that are under contract now, simply because, you know, this is like, it's a year of their contract too, a year of their of toll on their body, and they know that they can't do that a great deal.
So the one thing I would say about the, you know, quarterback class is everybody told me when the Titans had the number one pick, there were no quarterbacks in that draft, and Goff and Wentz and Dak all look pretty good right now. So I have a hard time with, you know, well, the quarterback class that year is going to be bad, but the next year is going to be really good, and the next year. Now, I mean, you would know better than I would, but I struggle with that because I'm like, you know, who's to say that Drew Locke's not going to be a super stud? I don't, you know, I guess you would be the one to say that. Let's go to Curtis, who's up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Curtis, you're on with the GM.
Hey, I just kind of had a different take on Mariota. I wanted to see the GM what he thought about it. So everyone's talking about him being tough or not being tough enough. And I don't think Mariota is a very good professional quarterback, but I don't think he's soft. What I was wondering is, do you think the fact that he is always injured and it's always different injuries, that maybe it's in his head and that when he's doing his rehab and doing all this stuff, that maybe he's a little bit more cautious than other players, because he doesn't want to take the chance of coming right back and getting injured again? But maybe it's more mental than the actual physical toughness or not. I just wanted to see what the GM thought. Thank you, y'all. Have a great day.
You know, I'm sure at a point in time it mentally affects what you're doing, simply because you know that everybody's talking about this. I mean, let's be honest. And so it becomes something that plays in your head. And you're saying to yourself, you know, I would love to take this ball and run it down the field and see if I can get this first down. But if I try to get the first down and I get hit and something gets it, then, you know, I'm going to have to go through this whole thing again. So instead of doing that, I think I'll just go over here and run out of bounds. And I think that's what you run into a little bit. And that does, you know, I think that has to be a concern.
How much of a concern is it for you? I don't see it with him.
I don't think it's a great concern now. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about, you know, and if he were to get injured again, or, you know, go into these games and he's afraid of being injured. What's going on here? No, everybody understands what's going on. You know, it's not like there are any secrets over there. They understand what's going on, and he just doesn't want that label, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't want that label either.
Injury prone?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then once you do it, like Sam Bradford has it. I don't know if Sam Bradford's hurt right now or not. I know his team sucks, but I have no idea if Sam Bradford's hurt. But nobody wants to really invest in Sam Bradford because Sam Bradford's always hurt.
And if you were to ask people, you'd say, okay, you know, I'm going to throw a name out there. Tell me what you know about him. And if you throw Sam Bradford out, nobody's going to say, oh, he was the number one pick from Oklahoma, and he played over here, and he played there. All they're going to do is tell you how many times he's been hurt. Oh, yeah, didn't he go to, and then he got hurt there, too. And then he went to Detroit, and then he got hurt there, too, and then Minnesota, and then, you know. And I think that's what happens, is those, you know, all those things kind of perpetuate themselves.
Give me another batch of calls for the GM, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Bob Stegg at Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. We're bringing you Nashville's best college football preview show, the Saturday Tailgate. Join Nick Cale and Julian Council every Saturday from 9 to 11, only on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Mafiosa's Pizzeria and Neighborhood Pub. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ask the GM is presented by Bob Stegg and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. And we've got loaded lines for the GM. Let's start it off with Ron, who's up next on Ask the GM. Ron, you're on with GM Floyd Reese. Go ahead.
Hey, GM, I got a question for you. Everybody around here knows and listens to Jared, and he's pushing you to be the AD at Vanderbilt. So I'm going to have you put your AD cap on.
He would never take that job, by the way, Ron.
You're making your future college football schedule as the AD. Would you rather schedule a pick-your-own-score cream puff school or an upper echelon five school where it would better you off later down in the year, toughen you up, and give you a better feeling of what your team is? That's my question, guys. Have a good evening.
You know, I think it would depend largely on who my school is, what my team is. And if I was at the upper echelon schools, I would certainly want to schedule somebody, at least with a good reputation. Somebody that, you know, if you're at Alabama, I would want to schedule, I don't know, I'm going to throw out somebody like Colorado, let's say, or somebody that, Nebraska, somebody that has a reputation, may not be a great team right now, but has a reputation. If I was a team that was struggling a little bit, I mean, I'd want to bring in as many of those cream puffs as I could. I mean, because I'm going to need to find a way to get some wins. The other thing is, and this is a personal belief of mine, but it's healthier for college football to have these cream puff games because it keeps those lesser programs healthy. And we have to keep that in mind. I mean, a lot of those lesser programs would not survive if they didn't have, you know, one or two or three games against some powerhouse that's paying them $1 million a game or something.
Well, and it's good for college volleyball, college soccer, college baseball.
Oh, yeah, keeps all them active.
That's how all those guys get paid. Yep. Let's go to John, who's up next on Ask the GM. John, you're on with GM Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call this afternoon. Hope you guys are doing good.
Thank you.
My question is about Marcus's contract. Marcus is a unique player, and the quarterback market for mid-level quarterbacks isn't really well-defined. Might it be smart for the Titans and Marcus to get kind of creative with the contract and do something like a fully guaranteed but lower amount or an incentive-laden contract with a very high ceiling but maybe a slightly lower floor? Because let's face it, if he throws 50 touchdowns and wins us the Super Bowl, we'd back the Brinks truck up to him. But if he misses half the season and throws more picks than touchdowns, he really wouldn't be earning his money. So do you think there's some way to maybe thread the needle very carefully there, make a deal that makes sense for both sides and gives him a strong upside but also doesn't expose the team to too much risk?
You know what? That's a great philosophy, and that's exactly what I would try to do. The problem is, here's what the players are looking for. The players are looking for guaranteed money. Now, guaranteed money comes in two forms. It either comes in a signing bonus, which you earn at the point you sign the contract, the very instant you sign it, or you have money guaranteed over the years. So that, you know, let's say I'm going to give you a $30 million signing bonus, that's all guaranteed. Or I could say, okay, I'm only going to give you a really small signing bonus, but I will guarantee the first, the second, and the third year of your contract at $10 million per. So you end up with the same amount of money. Now, I know it's over time, and a lot of people don't like that. But that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that, you know, security. And I don't blame them at all. The problem is, you know, the clubs can't get out of that. So you decide you're going to give a quarterback $30 million signing bonus, and then, you know, he misses 10 games the next year and, you know, 11 the year after that. I mean, you really are stuck. The incentive program is the absolute best, but it's probably best for the club. but it's their least likely because they know they are going to have to stay healthy and they are going to have to get productive to earn their money. And they don't, you know, let's face it, everybody would rather you just give it to them than making them earn it.
Let's go to CJ, who's up next here on Ask the GM. CJ, you're on with Floyd Reese.
Hey, brother, how y'all doing? Y'all doing all right?
Yep, go ahead.
Good.
Man, if I was still looking at y'all, brother, I'm on reality show. I put the Kardashians out of business. Hey, but anyway, I'm going deep, deep, deep undercover. I'm going Johnny Wishbone. Got a question for the GM.
Yes, sir.
If we had a taken Jameis over Marcus, what position do you think we would be in right now today? I'm going to take the answer on the phone. I pray you all's family as well.
Thank you, CJ. You too. Probably the same one you're in now. Is Gabbert going to beat the Jags?
For different reasons, you know, you're probably not a lot different. I think Marcus has proven that he fits, and I don't know Jameis, so it's hard for me to talk about him as a man, but I think we couldn't have asked for much better as far as a fit for our locker room, as far as a fit for the coaching staff and the GM and everybody involved. All of that is good. Now, Marcus has missed his number of games. Jameis has missed some of his for different reasons. And I think you have to be really, really careful about those guys that are your leaders that are maybe a little bit shaky, if you will. Only because I think it affects your locker room. I think your locker room knows that, you know, all of this is very shaky and that, you know, you could be gone at any point.
By the way, for the guy that said that, you know, we would have a good reality show, we just spent the last commercial break talking about diet soda. So I'm not sure how good of a reality show about us would be.
Good point.
I mean, like, in-depth diet soda discussion. Steve is up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Steve, you're on with Floyd Reese.
Hey, what's up, guys? Okay, I got a question for the GM.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's say that you are the GM. You're J-Rod right now. And you see that Gabbert, you know, won the game last week. He didn't light it up, but he didn't lose it for us.
Right.
And we go into next week's game, and we beat the Jaguars. And he's got the hot hand. Would you do the Bill Belichick and not switch drivers in the middle of the race? Or would you go ahead and put Marcus back in?
You know, I think I would be forced to go ahead and put Marcus back in. And I think for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, I think he is the better quarterback. I think he is better with the locker room. I think they would feel better about it. And it sounds like I'm really, really down in Gabbert, and I'm not. And I think he should.
You could have said those two things about Bledsoe, though.
Yeah, you probably could have. I think what he did this weekend was really special and should be congratulated him. I just think I look at him and I don't see, you know, my future quarterback in him. Now, could he be here for 8 years as a backup? Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe he's found a home from that standpoint. But I know J-Rob and I know what I'd be doing, and that is you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And that means you've got to have a quarterback that is better than the vast majority that are out there.
I mean, you really, that was like arguing for Bledsoe. So you would have chosen Bledsoe over Brady if you were in Belichick's shoes.
Yeah, probably.
You would have.
Yeah.
Just like how I heard yesterday through the grapevine, you chose to not sign Drew Brees.
I didn't say that.
I heard that Floyd.
Not exactly that. No.
I heard from someone that told me that Floyd admitted yesterday to not signing Drew Brees, and I'm like, what? I know Floyd should have told me about that. Well,
it was Drew Brees was in Miami and failed their physical.
Maybe he would have passed yours.
If he failed theirs, he wouldn't have passed ours.
Maybe he would have passed yours. That's it for Ask the GM. If you missed your chance to get in next Thursday at 5 o'clock, Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. All right, I feel bad, so I'm going to go ahead and give you guys something because I love you. Caller 2 at 615-737-1025. I want a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at Ryman Auditorium on Tuesday, September 25th. So we're just giving everything away. We're like Santa over here. 615-737-1025 for that. Coming up next, everybody loves the Jags. So what does that mean if the Titans beat them? That's next. Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Is this the best team in the AFC?
I believe it's the best team because their defense is their strength. Blake Bortles last year was more of an RN, a registered nurse.
Okay.
Now he's actually a real surgeon. He went out there and did some real methodical things. But also, too, I also believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a better team with T.J. Yeldon in there because now with Leonard Fournette, when he's in there, you know they're running the ball. T.J. can run screens. He can block. Yeah. He can do all that stuff. He's a third down back, and he helps Blake Bortles show us that he can actually be efficient.
Steve Smith Sr., he believes in the Jags' best team in the AFC. And that's, I guess, what everybody's saying out there except for Stephen A. Smith, which now worries me that if Stephen A. Smith is the only one out there that's not saying the Jags are the best team in the AFC, then the Jags might actually be the best team in the AFC. Titans go to the Jags this weekend. GM, here's my question for you. If the Jags are the best team in the AFC, what's that say about the Titans if they beat them? Because I know, you know, I saw ESPN is giving Jacksonville a 77% chance to win. So by my math, that means they're giving the Titans a 23% chance to win. So let's just say the Titans do win the game like they won the game last year in Jacksonville, like they won the game at home last year against Jacksonville. Let's say the Titans beat the Jags. Does that then mean that the Titans are the best team in the AFC? Because I even heard that while I was out, you said you think Jacksonville's the best team in the AFC.
Right.
So if the Titans beat Jacksonville, what's that say about the Titans?
It would certainly be a great win. I mean, it's not going to, you can't project that to, well, then they must be the best team in the AFC. Unfortunately, I think if you look at Jacksonville, this was the part that's concerning about Jacksonville. You could have said Jacksonville was the best team in the AFC without Blake Bortles. But when Blake Bortles goes into a game like in New England and play the way like he did in New England.
Like a surgeon and not a registered nurse?
Exactly. Then they are clearly, in my opinion, right now, I'm talking about week two, the best team in the AFC. Now, are they the best team in the AFC without Bortles? I still think they are. But they're not as dominant, you know, without him as they certainly were with him.
So I still go back to that Giant game where, you know, Blake didn't throw for 330 yards week one against a Giant team who is, I think we would both agree, not as good as the Patriots.
Right.
Because Blake didn't have to throw for that much. And so they didn't put it in Blake's hands. And now I kind of feel like, you know, and this is the truth here. The New England Patriots secondary is not as good as the Tennessee Titans secondary. The Titans have way more invested in their secondary. Because if the Patriots had been willing to pay their guys in the secondary what the Titans paid the New England guys in the secondary, then New England would have the Titans secondary. So they don't. So the Titans secondary is way, way, way better than the Patriots secondary.
I don't know that I'd be going way, way, way.
Oh, way, way, way.
Keep in mind what they paid the guy they brought in from Buffalo.
Stephon Gilmore?
Yes.
Was it like $14 million a year or something crazy like that?
I mean, he's doing okay. And Chung and
Papa Chung,
one
like
of the McCourty
old.
Brothers. I mean, they're paying those guys okay. Now they have one corner position that's a little bit shaky, but I wouldn't go way, way, way.
Oh my God, Byard and Vaccaro are way better than McCourty and Chung.
Oh now, no,
you don't
see,
think so?
That's what I'm talking about. You got no clue. You got no idea about McCourty and Chung, but you just threw that out there. I mean, they are not way, way better.
They're way, way
can
better.
You arguably say they're better? Yeah, you might. Simply because Byard's been an all-pro. But what a Chung? Chung left and went to, I think, Philadelphia for a year or two, turned right around and came right back to New England in a year or two. So, I mean, those guys have been around for a while, and they've played pretty good for a long, long time.
This is what I don't like, is I don't like the fact that Jacksonville can play a game on national TV and destroy the Patriots, and everybody come out the next week. Floyd Reese, Steve Smith Sr., Boomer, Phil Sims, everybody but Stephen A. Smith has come out and said, they are the best team in the AFC. And it's like every day is a pep rally for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then if you go to Jacksonville and beat the Jaguars, which nobody is expecting you to do, if you go to Jacksonville and beat them, no one's going to sit there on Monday and say, is Tennessee now the best team in the AFC? Well, no one's going to say that. Why not?
I think you're forgetting that they were the second best team in the AFC last year.
Well, the Titans were the third or fourth.
But who they were second, right? They lost in the championship game.
They were the runner-up of
the
AFC.
That makes them the second best team in the AFC last year. And they only improved this year. And they just beat the best team in the AFC last year. So I don't think it's a stretch to say, yeah, they're the best team in the AFC right now. That's early in the year. A lot can happen. We all understand that.
But again, though, by those same logic, the Titans were either the third or fourth best team in the AFC last year. By the same logic you're rolling on, that Jacksonville was the second best team.
Fine.
Titans are third or fourth because they lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. If the Titans beat the Jags, then isn't that, you know, hey, the new king of the AFC, the Jags, here come the Titans, who are the third or fourth best team last year, and then the Titans beat the Jags, then don't you then have to give the crown, take it off of Jacksonville's head, and put it right on the Titans?
No. That would be an absolute no.
I agree, but for different reasons.
There is no comparison. If you compare Jacksonville's roster right now, they're starting 22, and are starting 22 right now, because we've got probably two or three spots where we only have a starting 20 at the moment. We don't even have a starting 22. And you look at their starting 22, I mean, there really is no comparison. No comparison.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But the best team doesn't always go to the Super Bowl. The best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I would just like to see some consistency from everybody out there who's going to tell me that Jacksonville, because they beat New England, that Jacksonville is the best team in the league, when no one is now, the new crown Jags, no one is now going to then turn and say Tennessee is the best team in the AFC. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Titans-Jacksonville game is like, you know, it's only going to be in the Nashville and Jacksonville and Honolulu markets probably. And so not everyone's going to see that game, whereas last week when the Jags played the Patriots, everybody saw that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one's going to see. Like, if the Titans go to Jacksonville, and I don't think this is going to happen, but let's just say the Titans go to Jacksonville and do to Jacksonville what they did to Jacksonville in Jacksonville last year, which was beat them into submission. I mean, that may have been the best win of the season for the Titans last year, was week two at Jacksonville. If they do that, no one's going to pump the Titans' tires on Monday.
No. But we will certainly feel good about ourselves.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Vrabel doesn't care if people are talking about him or not.
I don't need anybody to tell me, hey, that's a really good win. No, I know it's a really good win. And thank you very much. And we're sitting here 2-1 and just beat the two other best teams in the division. I feel good.
Well, but what's going to happen, though, is then if the Titans beat the Jags, it'll be, well, you know, Kansas City is better and New England is better, and because they'll forget about the New England loss to Jacksonville, which again I don't think is totally fair to the Titans. Now my thing is this: I don't think the Titans are the best team in the AFC. In fact, I'm not even really sure the Titans are all that close. Even though I think the Titans can beat the team that everybody now thinks is the best team in the AFC, which is the Jags, even though people seem to think that, I would argue that the Titans could beat the Jags, but that they probably can't beat the Patriots. They probably can't beat the Chiefs. I mean, that would be a tough game for the Titans to win. And they probably couldn't. I mean, other than the Patriots and the Chiefs, I feel pretty confident the Titans could give anybody else a ball game. You know, like they'd beat, like, I feel like they'd beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I wish.
Pittsburgh's a dumpster fire right now.
Maybe.
They got no control of that team over there.
I don't
like, it'd be a ball game, I think. Like Denver, it'd be a ball game with Denver. That would be a
close might be
game.
A ball game with Denver.
Yeah, it'd be a ball game with Baltimore. Denver, it'd be a ball game with
the problem with all those other teams is they're going to go out and score now. I mean, they're going to go up and down the field.
Talking about Pittsburgh,
Pittsburgh, Kansas City, New England. Hopefully not Jacksonville, but I mean they're going to be able to score some points.
Didn't they tell us that about DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and the great Deshaun Watson? Didn't they say that about those teams? Hey, Watson is the top 50 player in the league, and the Texans are going to be great this year with Watson, and they scored 20 points or 17 or whatever.
Yeah, and I think they might be at some point in time, if they can get the quarterback right. But you never heard me saying that Deshaun Watson's top 50, whatever. I mean, he's another young quarterback. He's going to fight to earn his stripes like everybody else. But, I mean, we did just give each of those receivers 100 yards receiving. So I would say they're pretty good now.
That is the Dean Pease defense.
Oh.
That is the bend but don't break. That is the let them do whatever, but don't let them score touchdowns. And I am cool with that defense. And I think Dean, see, this is the one thing that I don't know about the Titans. And I think that it's going to be a big, big, big deal this week. Is I don't know if the Titans pass rushers are good or not. Like last year, the Titans were towards the top of the league in sacks, shockingly. But if you take the four guys that are going to come at the quarterback, Arakpo, Landry, Morgan, and Correa. Those are, to me, the four guys that are running off the edge to go get the quarterback. I mean, they might actually be pretty good. And if they're pretty good, because they looked pretty good last week, but the Texans have serious offensive line issues. If those guys
especially at tackle.
But so do the Jags. The most important tackle. If those guys are good, then I think you got a shot with your secondary to have a really, really, really good defense.
Well, I'm just hoping that we can stop them from running the ball enough to make them throw the ball.
Talking about Jacksonville?
Yes.
Well, you heard what Ray Lewis said, that you know that because New England went cover zero on Bortles, they disrespected him, and Bortles made him pay. I mean, I think you have to respect Bortles a little bit. I mean, I think you should be able to stop the run with the guys you got.
Problem is, I don't think we can stop the run without bringing an extra guy. And if you bring extra guy, now you're playing man for man.
Is that the cover zero Ray Lewis is talking about?
No, but you got to have, you're going to be playing man for man on the outside. And so, you know, what are you going to get out of that?
Okay, what if the Titans beat the Jags this week and then in November beat the Patriots? Then are they the best team in the AFC?
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Are the Titans, in your opinion, ever?
We don't have a quarterback.
Are the Titans?
We don't have any tackles.
I told you I'm done talking about the quarterback's health. Are the Titans ever, in your opinion, until they win the AFC to go to the Super Bowl, ever going to be considered the best team in the AFC?
And looking at the present group?
Yes.
The teams that are out there right now?
Yes.
I would say no.
They get their shot against everybody's new champion, Jacksonville. They get their shot on Sunday. And I feel like if they win, then you got to start moving the Titans up the ladder board a little bit.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, if they win, they go out and they beat Jacksonville, they will get national recognition. Now, it may only be fleeting. It may only be for a moment, but people will stand up and pay attention to that.
Coming up next, everybody, we've talked about this, everybody loves the Patriots, or excuse me, they love the Jags beatdown of the Patriots. Is it that big of a deal? Is it really so much so that everybody's got to stop everything they're doing because they beat the Patriots? We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Of course, I'm buying Jacksonville. Yeah. Listen, they are one of the teams. They get off the bus. They're the best-looking team in the NFL, man. They are loaded. Mm-hmm. There's not a weakness when you look at the whole team. And you talked about New England showing them no respect. Well, they couldn't get within 10 yards of Blake Bortles, so they had to blitz. And Blake Bortles showed everybody, showed me, showed us all, that, hey, you make me throw the football, he'll get it done.
Now, Phil Sims in on the Jacksonville train. I will say this. First and foremost, everybody in America loves the Jacksonville Jaguars. And except for me. And as we said in the last segment, apparently Stephen A. Smith and I have the exact same take. So I don't know what you make of that. I mean, I know what I make of it, and it's not necessarily good. But I, you know, whatever. Anywho, the point I'm trying to get to is everybody coming into the season thought Jacksonville was going to be okay or pretty good, right? Like, everyone's like, you know what? The Jags are going to win the AFC South, and we love the Jags defense and all of that.
Where'd you pick the Jags in the AFC South?
I think I picked them third.
Okay.
Which I regret. But the reason I regret that is because of the Texans. Because I don't think the Texans are very good. So, anywho, everybody loves the Jacksonville Jags now that they beat New England. They go and they spank New England, which I know you and I disagree about this on, but I feel like this is the annual New England butt kicking that they get every year. And so, but maybe you're right, it's not. What do you make of everybody in the media flocking to the Jags and falling in love with the Jags because of how they crushed the Patriots? And I mean, we talked about, you heard Phil Simms right there, but you heard Steve Smith Sr., Boomer, like all those guys just love Jacksonville from basically one game in which they watch them crush New England.
Well, I think there were a lot of people that thought that Jacksonville was going to be a contender. I mean, I don't think anybody doubted that. Now, did they have the best team in the AFC? Maybe not, but they certainly had the best one, two, or three. But the thing that happened this weekend that nobody expected, that affected everybody, was Blake Bortles. And Bortles lit it up. And it doesn't matter who they played. He lit it up. And that's something that we haven't seen from him. So you take a really good run team with a really good defense, and now you throw in a really good quarterback, if in fact that's what Bortles has become, then you're talking about a serious Super Bowl contender. And I think that's where people have jumped on the wagon.
But it's one game from Blake.
Exactly. It's one game. But I'll say this now. He went out. This is what happened. Different than what has happened before. He had to take over that game. They weren't running the ball. He had to take over the game, and he took it over. In an important game for them, he took it over, and they crushed New England. And people look at that, and they go, whoa. If he played like that in championship game, they're going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He plays like that in the Super Bowl, they win the Super Bowl. Now, is he going to do all that? Nobody knows. I mean, right now, I'm just praying that he goes back to the Bortles that we've known and loved for the last X number of years this week, because I want him to go out and, you know, go 17 for 28 and throw three interceptions and we win some way. And if that's what he goes back to, then they're still going to be a contender. They're still going to be a good team. But I don't think anybody looks at him and says, yeah, you know, they're gonna be really good. But, for example, are they going to, even against a team like Kansas City, and Kansas City doesn't have any defense, but can they score enough to keep up with a team like Kansas City? I don't know that.
And is Kansas City going to keep scoring that much as the season goes
exactly.
on?
I mean, we're all excited about Mahomes, and he's the answer, and this guy's the best ever, and what? He's played two games, you know?
And, I mean, one was against the Steelers, and the Steelers right now are like,
a mess.
You know, they are a disaster. So it's, and I feel like at this point in the year, a lot of this is how much of it is so-and-so is good and how much of it is so-and-so is bad. Because you talk about Kansas City, I go back to last year, Alex Smith hung 42 on the Patriots and was, you know, throwing touchdowns left and right. And then they ran him out of town when he couldn't beat the Titans, which, as we have well documented on this show, was not Alex's fault. But that was still, you know, the popular opinion was that it was Alex's fault and all of that. I mean, I get it. I mean, if Bortles throws for 377 and three touchdowns, you lose Sunday.
I guarantee you.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I just have a career of Blake Bortles up until this point to go off of, and the 377 Blake Bortles is one game.
And for us, like you said, we've got the history, but you go to somebody, Stephen A. Smith or whoever it is, I'm just throwing a name out, who doesn't have that history. You know, and they watch that game this weekend, they're going, whoa, hey, hold on now. That team is for real. So, I mean, they don't have the same, information to draw from that we do. And we've seen it go completely the opposite way. And to be honest, I mean, I'm hoping that Bortles that played against New England never rears his ugly head again.
Or at least not on Sunday against the Titans.
I guarantee you.
I don't know about Bortles. I still think he stinks. You know, there's too much evidence that proves that he does stink. And for us to sit back here and say, okay, well, now here we are, and Bortles lit up the Patriots, so now he's great. Like, I'm not. I mean, if this were Mariota, who had one game like this, and I were going crazy about Marcus is leading the Titans, and they're the best team in the league, and they're I can just hear you, it's one game. We'll see how he does next week against the Steelers. You know, that's what you would say.
That's right. And that's what you would say. It's, we're on our way to the Super Bowl.
Not on that. You know, I'm not so sure about that. It just, I don't feel like, I don't feel, and I still feel like the Jags defense isn't that good. I mean, yes, it is, but it's not. Like, everybody acts like they're the Ravens from 2000 or, you know, one of those kind of defenses, the Broncos of a couple years ago. They are one step short of that. And the reason I say that is because Mike Mularkey, for whatever you liked or didn't like about him, Mike Mularkey had that Jags defense figured out. He had that Jags team figured out. And I'm telling you, there's an answer. And the way that I feel about it is sometimes certain teams have strengths or weaknesses that don't allow them to take advantage of the Jags defense. The Titans last year were content in running, and punting. Well, you're not going to convince Big Ben and Antonio Brown, hey, our game plan this week is to run it three times and punt. You're never going to convince those guys of that. The Patriots can't run it three times and punt. So, like, you know, the Titans, if you can run it three times and punt, then it changes how Jacksonville plays. So that's just how I feel. I'm not sure how everybody else feels about that, but I feel like if you want to go out there and just throw it on Jacksonville, you're going to throw interceptions and lose.
Well, that, I mean, they are set up for, they're set up as an NFL team, you know, on defense. What do you have to do to be a really good defense in the NFL? You got to rush the quarterback, you got to knock the quarterback down, and you got to have DBs that can cover good receivers. And that's where they are. Add tremendous speed from the linebacker core. And now you're saying, that is a really good defense. Now, if you eliminate all those things, which running the ball does, then you're okay. But the question is, can a right tackle-less offense run the ball against that defense?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Plus, I think, don't you think Jack's going to play?
Don't you what?
Think Jack's going to play on Sunday?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. He might play some. He might split, you know, go a few reps or something. But
Knee like a guitar string too, or is that?
I hope not.
I mean, is that the?
Yeah, we don't need.
I think the Titans can run on the Jacks.
Guitar springs.
You know, we were talking to Derrick Henry earlier today. He, for some reason, knows how to run on Jacksonville better than maybe any running back in the league over the last 2 years. Let the big dog eat.
We're going to find out.
And this is what's going to happen. If the Titans go to Jacksonville and beat the Jags, and let's just say it's like last year when the Titans went to Jacksonville and it was a close game at halftime and then they hammered them and nobody around the country watched that game because nobody around the country is going to watch this game. If the Titans go to Jacksonville and hammer the Jags, I am telling you that the Titans are going to get no love, but that everyone's going to say, Jacksonville went back to being Jacksonville and Bortles was 13 of 36 for 172 and two interceptions, and you know they can't maintain it, and that's the problem with Jacksonville, and the Titans are going to get no love. But I'm telling you, the Titans, I think, match up okay with the Jags. They matched up well last year.
So you're going to pick them?
I really might.
No, you won't.
This time tomorrow is going to be six-pack picks.
No guts.
This exact time tomorrow.
I will bet you don't pick them.
Well, it's hard because there's not a line. You know, I mean, like, if the line was, like, Titans plus 10, like, I would take it.
Are we going to bet?
But we have to get a line first. There's no line on the
game. I don't care what the line is.
What do you want to give me, 10?
I don't care because I'm saying I want to bet that you don't take the Jaguars.
I might not. I am really undecided on my pick right now. And that is with the assumption that big game Blaine Gabbert is playing quarterback. Because until they say Marcus is the starting quarterback and he runs out there, like Vrabel may even say tomorrow, I don't know. He may say, you know, Marcus is full go and we're excited for Marcus. Now, he wouldn't say that because he wouldn't say something like that. But if he were to say that, I still would not believe it. Until on the TV broadcast, they're like, here come the Titans, and Marcus Mariota returns to action, Bob, as Mariota takes the huddle. And then I might actually have to see him throw it first before I decide whether or not he's actually back in there. But I am considering taking the Titans with big game Blaine at quarterback on side. I really am.
I will bet you whatever. I promise you, you will not take the Titans with big game Blaine. You will not.
I don't know.
I know.
How do you know?
I know.
How do you know? I think the Titans have a good shot in this game.
You don't have the guts to do it.
I think the Titans have a good shot in this game. I do. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, six-pack picks presented by Porvu at 5:45. Maybe we'll have a line on this game, and you will find out how I am picking. I am really torn on this one.
Oh, you'll be all right.
We'll do that tomorrow. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd, guess where we are tomorrow?
Where?
We are at Bridgestone Arena. We got a little Preds hockey going on. You're going to get your jacket back out of the storage and
got to
put it back on.
Yeah.
All right. I will see you tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Jared and the GM at 2:00.